Meanwhile, a very loud crashing noise was coming from the other side of the house. The source of the commotion was revealed as they entered the garden and saw that Bill and Charlie both had their wands out and were making two battered old tables fly high above the lawn, smashing into each other, each attempting to knock the others out of the air. Fred and George were cheering, Ginny was laughing, and Hermione was hovering near the hedge, apparently torn between amusement and anxiety. Bill's table caught Charlie's with a huge bang and knocked one of its legs off. There was a clatter from overhead, and they all looked up to see Percy's head poking out of a window on the second floor. "Will you keep it down?" he bellowed. "Sorry, Perce," said Bill, grinning. "How are the cauldron bottoms coming on?" "Very badly," said Percy peevishly, and he slammed the window shut. Chuckling, Bill and Charlie directed the tables safely onto the grass, end to end, and then, with a flick of his wand, Bill reattached the table leg and conjured tablecloths from nowhere. By 7 o'clock, the two tables were groaning under dishes and dishes of Mrs. Weasley's excellent cooking, and the 9 Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, were settling themselves down to eat beneath a clear, deep blue sky. To someone who had been living on meals of increasingly stale cake all summer, this was paradise, and at first Harry listened rather than talked as he helped himself to chicken and ham pie, boiled potatoes and salad. At the far end of the table, Percy was telling his father all about his report on cauldron bottoms.
"I've told Mr. Crouch that I'll have it ready by Tuesday," Percy was saying pompously. "That's a bit sooner than he expected it, but I like to keep on top of things. I think he'll be grateful I've done it in good time. I mean, it's extremely busy in our department just now, what with all the arrangements for the World Cup. We're just not getting the support we need from the Department of Magical Games and Sports. Ludo Bagman..."
"I like Ludo," said Mr. Weasley mildly. "He was the one who got us such good tickets for the Cup. I did him a bit of a favour. His brother Otto got into a spot of trouble, a lawnmower with unnatural powers. I smoothed the whole thing over."
"Oh, Bagman's likeable enough, of course," said Percy dismissively. "But how he ever got to be head of department, when I compare him to Mr. Crouch. I can't see Mr. Crouch losing a member of our department and not trying to find out what's happened to them. You realise Bertha Jorkins has been missing for over a month now? Went on holiday to Albania and never came back?"
"Yes, I was asking Ludo about that," said Mr. Weasley, frowning. "He says Bertha's gotten lost plenty of times before now, though I must say, if it was someone in my department, I'd be worried."
"Oh, Bertha's hopeless, all right," said Percy. "I hear she's been shunted from department to department for years. Much more trouble than she's worth. But all the same, Bagman ought to be trying to find her. Mr. Crouch has been taking a personal interest. She worked in our department at one time, you know, and I think Mr. Crouch was quite fond of her. But Bagman just keeps laughing and saying she probably misread the map and ended up in Australia instead of Albania. However...
Percy heaved an impressive sigh and took a deep swig of elderflower wine.
"We've got quite enough on our plates at the Department of International Magical Cooperation without trying to find members of other departments, too. As you know, we've got another big event to organise right after the World Cup."
Percy cleared his throat significantly and looked down toward the end of the table where Harry, Ron and Hermione were sitting.
"You know the one I'm talking about, Father?"
He raised his voice slightly.
"The top secret one?"
Ron rolled his eyes and muttered to Harry and Hermione,
"He's been trying to get us to ask what that event is ever since he started work. Probably an exhibition of thick-bottom cauldrons."